Today, good morning. Today's daf is Memches Amud Aleph. Or is Memches Amud Aleph and Amud Beis. We're picking up from Memches Amud Aleph, four lines down from the top, last word on the line. Tashma. So it says the Gemara, Tashma. Hichnis shoro l'chotzer balabayis, shalo birishus. If a person goes ahead and brings his shor into the chotzer of the balabayis without rishus, without permission. So we'll say, remember again, I'm sorry, it's a little bit of context. So remember, we're talking about over here in general, if I allow someone's shor to come into my rishus, so assuming that I take responsibility for the safety of that shor, so we have machlokes in the Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, whenever you invite someone into your chotzer, by definition, you are assuring their safety. According to Rebbe, I only assure your safety if what? If I explicitly undertake responsibility for your safety. The question the Gemara was dealing with was, when we say that the Balabas assures the safety of the person coming into his chatzar, is that just safety from the Balabas's property, that my shore is not going to gore your shore, or does that mean safety in general, even from outside situations? So the Nafkamina, where does this come up? This comes up as, imagine if Shimon invites Reuven into his chatzar, and what happens? Levi's shore comes and injures Reuven's shore while in Shimon's chatzar. Is Shimon responsible for that or no? So that's the discussion the Gemara is in the middle of now. So Tashma, Hichnis shoro l'chatzar balabayis, if Reuven brought his shor into Shimon's chatzar, shlo birshus, without Shimon's rishus, uba shor mimakom acher, and a shor came from somewhere else, Levi's shor came along, v'nagcho, and gored Reuven's shor in Shimon's chatzar, pater. So ultimately, again, he's pater. V'im hechnes birshus, but if Reuven had rishus, if Reuven had permission to bring his shor into Shimon's chatzar, then what? Then chayiv, then he is chayiv. So the Gemara says, well, who's chayiv? Man pater uman chayiv. Who is the he? Who are the pronouns in this case? Who's chayiv? Who's pater? So the Gemara says, lav pater bal chater, the chayiv bal chater. Are we not saying that the bal chater is chayiv, the bal chater is pater? And therefore, the Gemara seems to be saying is what? What the Gemara seems to be saying is that Lamaisa, again, if Shimon invited Reuven into his chatzar, then if Levi's shor ends up goring Reuven's shor, that ultimately, again, Reuven will be chayiv for that because he invited Reuven in with Rishos. Masha Enkein, if Reuven comes into Shimon's Rishos without Rishos, and Levi's shor ends up goring Reuven's shor, that Shimon will not be liable for that. To which the Gemara says, lo, pater bala shor v'chayiv bala shor. No, chayiv and pater, in fact, does not refer to the owner of the chatzar. Rather, chayiv and pater ultimately, again, refers to the owner of the shor, to Levi. So what does this mean? So the Gemara says, ihachi, my birishus, my shalom birishus. So we'll say, if that's the case, that the liability being referred to over here is the liability of Levi, the owner of the shor, what does Levi's liability have to do with Reuven having permission to enter into Shimon's chatzah or not? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you. So the Gemara says, Omri, Hamani, Rabbi Tarfonhi. Whose opinion does this price reflect? It reflects the view of Rabbi Tarfon. The Omer, Mishuna Karen Bechatzer HaNizok, Nezek Shalim Mishalim. So both said, because Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion that when Karen occurs in the domain of the damaged party, ultimately, you have to pay nezek shalim. Meaning, even though normally we say that for Karen, you only have to pay chatzi nezek, the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon is that when Karen damage occurs in the Rishus, in the domain of the nizak of the damaged party, you have to pay nezek shalim. So watch this. Birishus havile Karen b'chatzar nizak. So we'll say, listen to this. So if Reuven received permission to bring his animal into Shimon's chatzar, and then what happens? And then Levi's animal gores Reuven's shor in Shimon's chatzar. So because Reuven has permission to be there, that's considered to be like Reuven's chatzar. Therefore, this will be a case of Karen in the Rishus of the Nizak, and therefore Levi will have to pay full damages. However, Shalo Birshus, but Lamaisa, again, if Reuven did not have permission to bring his shor into Shimon's chatzar, and then Levi's ox gores Reuven's ox, gores Reuven's shor in Shimon's chatzar, which Reuven does not have permission to be in, then Havi they Karen Birshus Arabim, and that'll be the equivalent of a case of Karen in Rishus Arabim, Falal Mishalma Ela Chatzi Nezek. And therefore, again, Levi, the owner of the shor, will only be obligated to pay half damages. So we'll say, so the Gemara still has not fully resolved this fundamental question of when you go ahead and you invite someone into your chatzar, assuming liability for the safety, or you're assuming responsibility for the safety of that person, what does that safety include? Is that safety, so I invite you into my house, I'm giving you a guarantee of safety. Is that safety from me, that I promise you, you will not be harmed by me, or by my property, or by my possessions? Or am I saying, I guarantee your safety from all things? So that question still has not yet been resolved, and still appears to still be on the table. So we're not finished with it. There was a woman. So there was a woman that went to bake bread in her neighbor's house. So we'll say, so the key story is whatever, she never owned an oven. So she went to bake bread in the neighbor's house. What happened? Asa barcha demari besa. So the owner of the home had a goat. The goat wandered into the kitchen. What happens? Achla lalisha. The goat ate the dough. Chovil. Now whatever this means, the goat became overheated as a result of consuming the dough. Umis, and the goat died. So the obvious shayla over here is the woman responsible for the death of the goat? Chayve Rabba l'shalume d'mei barcha. So Rava said that the woman who came to bake, ultimately again is responsible to pay for the goat. So the Gemara says, Leyam pliyad Rav. So say ultimately again that Rava is arguing on Rav. Why? The Gemara says, Da'amarav. Havya shalotocha. We saw this yesterday. Rav's opinion is that whenever your animal dies as a result of eating, so what happens? So the person ultimately who goes, so let's say the owner of the food always has the taina that what? Who says your animal should be eating? Right? This was Rav Shita yesterday. Right? Who says your animal should be eating? Right? Go ahead. You should be watching the diet of your animal, and therefore, again, you should be more vigilant. Who says the animal should be eating anything? So remember, we'll say, so what's happening over here is, on one hand, Rav is coming along and saying the woman is responsible for the death of the goat, because apparently she should have been more vigilant not to allow the goat to go ahead and eat the dough. So the Gemara just points out that Rava clearly is at odds with Rav. Because Rav is of the opinion that whenever an animal dies because of either eating too much or eating the wrong things, that responsibility is upon the owner of the animal, not the owner of the food item. To which the Gemara says, Omri, hachi hashta hasam shalo birshus, lo kabil ale nitirusa. So I say, here's the difference. The difference is that Lamaisa, again, in a situation where someone entered the domain of the balavos, without rishos, without permission, so that's ultimately again where the individual who walked in obviously cannot go ahead and take responsibility to guard the animal of the balabas from danger. Hacha birshos kabil ale nitirusa. So we'll say this is actually quite interesting. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Hacha birshos kabil ale nitirusa debehemto v'taima derava. Lav mishum de kasaver demand the al birshus kabil alei nitirusa de behemos balachaser da ihu hu deshani leel kul rabbanani vaoki de balkaderos ki al birshus lo kabil nitirusa vahacha kidim afarish time lekamei de lemifya. So I will say, Sifan. So before we go on to the rest of Rashi, what it sounds like over here I will say is that in a case where you are given permission to enter into someone's rishus, the responsibility is upon you, the guest, to make sure that whatever you're doing in that chatzar does not pose a danger to the animals of the balabas. So, okay? So therefore, if you have the right to come into the chatzar, you have the obligation to ensure that whatever you're doing in that chatzar does not pose a danger to the animals, to the property of the balabas. Therefore, in this case, the woman was given permission to go ahead and bake. Part of that permission includes what? That she needs to make sure that no harm befalls the animals of the balabas. So Gemara says, one second. Umashna mehe isha shenichnasa litchon chitin etzal balabayis. But why is this different than the case of a woman who came in to grind wheat by the balabas? So we'll see what happens. A woman goes into her neighbor. Her neighbor has a what's it called? A millstone, right? So she goes into her neighbor's house to grind meat without the neighbor's permission. Shelo birshus. And what happened? Va'achalton behemto shabalabayis. And what happens? The animal of the balabas eats the woman's wheat. So we'll say, what's talocha? Potter. Remember again, the balabas is potter. Why is the balabas potter? Because the woman is there without permission. Vim huska, but yet again, if the balabas's animal is injured by the wheat somehow of the woman, then what? Then chayeves. Then she, the trespasser, is chayeves because she's a trespasser. Taima de shelo bishus. So the reason ultimately again that she is responsible for the damage to the animal is because she's there without rishus. Habi rishus potter. But I will say, but what do we see from here? You see from here that if she had entered into the balabas's domain to grind wheat with rishus, that the inference from that would be what? That she would not be liable for any damage that occurred to the animals of the Bala Chotzer. Which I will say tells us that what? Seems to tell us that when you invite someone into your rishus, if they have permission to be there, lemaisa, again, they are not responsible to ensure that their damage does, that their activities does not damage the balabas's animal, but rather it's the balabas's responsibility to protect his own animals. To which the Gemara says, no. Amri, litchon chitin de lo baitz ni'usa, midi lo bai, misalke miravcha de chatre nafshayhu, va'ale didei rami nitirusa. Bosa, listen to this. When it comes to grinding of wheat, where a woman does not require any kind of privacy, therefore, again, the balabas need not remove himself from the chatzar, and therefore the responsibility to guard his animals is upon him. Aval meifa, but I will say when it comes to baking, kevan de boy he tzniusa, since when it comes to baking, a woman requires tznius. A woman requires privacy. But so why does a woman require privacy? Look at Rashi. The meifa bayet sniusa shemegale zira aseha. Well, this is an interesting idea because for baking and for kneading the dough, a woman has to roll up her sleeves. She exposes. Now, this is actually very interesting because the zroa is usually the forearm, which is quite interesting. So because a woman has to expose her forearm, that would be not sanua, that would be immodest for a man to be present then. Therefore, again, if I am lending out my property to, or my kitchen, right, to go ahead and allow for a woman to bake her bread, by definition, I'm going to vacate the premises. So because I'm going to vacate the premises, abala meifa, kevan de boy hitzniu, so since she requires her privacy, meravcha de chatzar misalki nafshayhu, the balabas is going to leave the chatzar, hilchach alo dida ramyo netirusa. Therefore, the obligation to make sure that the balabas's animal comes to no harm is in fact upon the woman. So, Moshe said, this is really very interesting. So, what the Gemara essentially is being mechalik is between the nature of the usage. If I'm inviting someone to use my home, and that home does not require me to vacate the premises, then the responsibility to make sure that my animals don't get damaged from the use of the guest is my responsibility. But if what I'm inviting the guest to use my property for really requires me to vacate the premises because of tznius purposes, then by definition the responsibility to guard my animals from being damaged rests upon the guest. Quite an amazing halacha. So hechnisu shor lechatzar balabayis. So we'll say next case. So if a person brought his shor into the chatzar of the balabas, amarava, hechnis shoro lechatzar balabayis, shelo bishos. We'll listen to this case. A person brings his shor into the chatzar of the balabayis, into the courtyard of the balabayis, without permission. The chafer bo boros sichin umaros. And what happens? Well, let's imagine this. Reuven brings his ox into Shimon's property without Shimon's permission. And what happens? Reuven's ox begins digging. Now, boros sichin umaros, we'll say, is just a phrase, the way the Gemara uses it. The idea is the animal begins digging holes in Reuven's property. Begins, you know, what happens? Bal ha-shar chayiv b'niskei chaser. So we'll say, Reuven, the owner of the shar, is chayiv for all the damages to the field. U'bal chaser chayiv b'niskei habar. Now, this is interesting. So remember this case. So Reuven's shar is Reuven's taking his shar into Shimon's property without Shimon's permission. And now what happens? Reuven's shar begins digging up Shimon's property. So what happens? So the Gemara says, Reuven is chayev for damage done to Shimon's property. Rav said, but now you've got a whole bunch of boros, right? You've got a whole bunch of pits. So what's the halacha? What's the halacha with those pits? So the Gemara says over here that Shimon, the owner of the property, is chayiv for any damages that may result, that may occur as a result of the pits. Afagab d'amar mar, even though we learned ki yichra ishbar below sharbar, even though we learned that what? The pasuk says, ki yichra ishbar, if a man will dig a pit, and we learn from there that you're only liable for a pit that you dug, and not liable for a pit that my animal dug. Hacha, kevan de isle, bless you, kevan de isle leheich limiluye, velo kamalye, kiman de karye dame, bless you. But over here the Gemara says that since what? Since Shimon, the owner of the property, had the ability to fill in the pits, but he did not do so, so the halacha treats it as if what? As if he dug it himself. Ba'amar Rava, Rava said furthermore, Hichnis sharo l'chatzar balabai shalo b'shus. It was the same case. Reuven brings his shar into Shimon's chatzar without rishus. V'hizik balabayis. And what happens? And let's say again, Reuven's shar damages Shimon, the balabas. Oh, balabayis huzakbo. Or the balabas was damaged to the shonabos, and it was the chilek over there. So when we say the hizik balabais, that means the animal actively damaged Shimon the balabais, the owner of the chatzar. Huzakbo means the animal passively damaged Shimon the balabas. Right? How does, what's the case of passive damage? The animal's laying down, and Shimon trips over the animal. So we'll say, what's talach? Achayiv. So in both of these cases, because again, Reuven did not have permission to bring his animal into the Rishus, ultimately again, of Shimon, therefore any damage that occurs to Shimon in this Rishus, Reuven will be chayiv for. Ravatz Potter. It was another interesting case. However, if the animal squatted down, and as a result of the squatting did damage, then ultimately Reuven is Potter. Now, we'll say, now Rashi says over here, Ravatz Potter, Kasaka Dait Kahashta, Ravatz Vishiber Kalim, O Niskal Balabai, Slachashar. So, we'll say, now, Bepashtos, we assume that the case of squatting is the case of where the animal squatted down and crushed utensils under its weight. Yet, again, the Brisa says that for that case, ultimately, Reuven, the owner, is Potter. So the Gemara says, I don't understand the Mishum de Ravatz Potter. Why is that? Because the animal squatted down. Therefore, again, the owner is going to be Potter. It doesn't make any sense. Amara Papa, my Ravatz. What does it mean, Ravatz? Shehir bits gilolim v'nit nifu kelev shabalabayis. Because I will say the case over here is the animal squatted down and the animal defecated. That's the idea. The animal is relieving itself. And it relieved itself on the utensils of Shimon, the Baal HaChatzar. The Havile Gilolim Bar, because Rabbi Osai, again, the waste is considered to be a bar, right? V'lo matzinu bar shechaye bo asakelim. And remember, again, for bar, your chaye for damage is done to a person, and your chaye for damage is done to an animal. What are you not chaye in bar? For damage is done to kelim. So therefore, the Gemara is suggesting, or the case of squatting is where the animal is relieving itself, the waste is considered to be like a bar, and if the bar ultimately damages the utensils of the balabas, so Reuven, the owner of the shar, is not chayiv for that. So the Gemara says, one second, Hani chalashmol damar kol takalabarhu. So this makes sense according to Shmuel, who says any general stationary obstacle, bless you, is considered to be a bar. El rav damar adamath kirlei ma'ikel meimar. But according to Rav, who says that something is not a bar unless, of course, what? You make it hefker. So what is there to say? So the Gemara says, Amri stam gilalim afkure mafkerlu. So what say Rav will say that people generally are mafkir the waste of their animal. They both say, now you say to yourself, that's pretty logical. Remember, not necessarily, because lemaisa, again, you know, for composting purposes, right, for fertilizer purposes, it's not so posh. People kept the waste of their animal. But lemaisa, what the Gemara is really saying is the following, is that when your animal relieves itself somewhere other than your property, so bepashtos, a person usually is mafgir that waste. Therefore, again, according to everyone, this waste can be considered to be a bar, and therefore, again, for bar, there is no liability regarding kalim utensils. Therefore, when the animal squats down, relieves itself, so the waste is considered to be a bar. The bar damages the kalim of the balabais, and therefore, again, the owner of the shar, in this case, Reuven, is going to be putter. Va'amar Rava, Rava said, nichnas l'chatzar balabais shelo b'rishus, if Reuven enters into Shimon's domain without rishos, v'hizik pamuni with his animal, v'hizik balav es balabayis or balabayis huzak bo. And what happens? Shimon is damaged by Reuven's animal, either actively or passively. Chayif. Ultimately, again, Reuven will be chayif for any damages done to Shimon. Hiziko balabayis. We'll say, what happens if Shimon the balabos damages Reuven's animal? Then Sligmar's potter. Ultimately, Shimon is going to be potter. Why? Because the mice of that animal is there without rishos. Amara papa, lo amar el de lo havi yadabin. Abbas says, very interesting. When do we say, so let's analyze this case in just a moment. So Reuven brings his shar into Shimon's domain, into Shimon's chatzar, without Shimon's rishos, without Shimon's permission. So the Gemara just said over here that if Shimon ends up damaging Reuven's animal, Shimon will be potter. Says the Gemara, says Rav Papa, when do we say that Shimon's potter? That's only when Shimon did not know about the presence of the animal. Remember, this is happening without Rishus. So Shimon goes ahead, had no idea about the animal, you know, turned the corner and ended up striking the shar and damaging the shar. That's when Shimon's potter. However, but if Shimon was aware of the presence of the shar in his rishos, then his ziko balabayis chayiv. Then ultimately, if Shimon ends up injuring the animal, Shimon will be chayiv. My time, what's the reason? Mishum da'amarle, because Reuven could say to Shimon, nihid de'islacha rishu salafuke, you have rishos to throw me out of your chatzar, I'm here without permission, la'azuke les l'cha rishusa, but to damage me, for that, you don't have rishos. So both sides, this is actually a fascinating halacha. So Rav Papa is coming along and qualifying this idea that what? That if Reuven brings his shar into Shimon's chatzar without rishos. So up until now, we've always been assuming that any damage that Shimon, the Baal HaChatzar, visits upon Reuven's shar, Shimon will be putter for. Why? Why? Because Reuven's shar is trespassing. Right, and when you trespass, ultimately, again, the trespasser assumes all of the risk. Rav Papa says, yes, to a degree. That's only assuming that Shimon was unaware that Reuven brought the shar into his chatzar. But if Shimon was aware, then Shimon has the responsibility to be vigilant to avoid damaging Reuven's shar. And if Shimon was aware of the presence of the shar and damages the shar, Shimon will in fact be chayiv for that. Because Reuven can say, look, you have the right, I'm trespassing, therefore you have the right to throw me out, but you don't have the right to what? You don't have the right to damage me. They go according to their reasoning. So we'll say, if you have two people in the same domain, and both have rishus to be there. Rashi says over here, that could be either a case of rishus rabim, where they both have the right to be there, or jointly owned property, or Reuven owns property and he gave Shimon the right to come in. So if you have a situation where both of them are on the property with rishus, oshneihem shelo rishus, or both of them are on the same property and what? And neither of them have the right to be there. Suppose that the idea is they're both on equal footing in terms of their ability to be in this domain. So what's the halacha? Heziku zeze, if they damage each other, then what's the halacha? Chayavim. They're both chayiv. In other words, they both have equal standing. So if they damage each other, they're both chayiv. However, husku zeba ze pturin, if they were accidentally damaged by one another, then both are potter. So taima tishnehem birshus, o shnehem shelo birshus. So we'll say the reason why, again, they're both chayiv for damaging each other, or both potter, if they accidentally damage each other, is because why? Because ultimately, again, both of them have permission or lack permission to be there. In other words, we'll say they are on equal footing. Aval echad birshus ve'echad shelo birshus. But what can we infer from here? If one of them had the right to be on this property, and one of them did not have the right to be on this property, so what's the halacha? So dibirshus pater, shelo birshus chayiv. So what we can infer from this is that the only reason why both are chayiv or both are pater, depending on the circumstance, is because they both have equal entitlement to be in the space. But lamaisa, if one of them had birshus to be in the space, and one of them did not have birshus to be in the space, then what? Then what? Then the one who did not have rishus would be chayiv, and the one who did have rishus would be pater. So what comes out over here is a fundamental machlokes a fundamental machlokes about what happens with trespassers. So the fundamental machlokes is the following. Everyone will agree that if Reuven trespasses on Shimon's property, brings his shor in, Shimon has no idea that Reuven's there. And let's say again, if Reuven's shor damages, of course Reuven's chayiv. But if Reuven's shor is damaged, then again the Baal Habos is potter from that because Reuven was trespassing and Shimon had no idea he was there. The machlokes case is what happens if Shimon knows that Reuven trespassed. And ultimately, again, Shimon ends up damaging Reuven's shor. So this case is a machlokes. The first opinion says, if Shimon is aware of the presence of Reuven's shor, and Shimon damages the shor, Shimon is chayev for that damage. Why? Because even though Reuven's trespassing, as long as Shimon knew that Reuven was there, Shimon has to be vigilant about not damaging Reuven's property. Second opinion says, no, trespassers bear all of the responsibility. If you don't have the right to be in a particular area, then the mice, again, you assume full responsibility for anything that happens. So we'll say, how do we paskin? So amazing enough, the Rambam paskins like Rav Papa. The Rambam paskins that if, again, Reuven is trespassing in Shimon's Rishus, if Shimon doesn't know about it, and Reuven's animal is injured, Shimon is not liable. But if Shimon knows about it, even though Reuven is there illegally, if Shimon knows about it, and Shimon ends up damaging Reuven's animal, Shimon will be chayiv for damages, since once Shimon knows that someone else is in his property, albeit without his rishus, he has an obligation, ultimately, again, to be vigilant, and to avoid damaging Reuven's animal. And if he does damage, he will be liable for those damages. Incredible halacha. Amar Rava, so we'll say next case. Nafal labar v'heve shmei mev chayiv. So remember again, it is a case of where Reuven again is trespassing in Shimon's property. And what happens? Reuven's shor ends up falling into Shimon's well. And what happens? The water becomes putrid. So ultimately, again, Reuven is chayiv. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, lo shenlo ela shevesh b'shas nafila. That's only true if the waters became putrid immediately upon the animal falling in. However, aval la'achar nafila pater. But I will say, if the water only became disgusting afterwards, then ultimately Reuven will be pater. Look at Rashi, shevesh b'shas nafila da'havi mazik mamish. Below Dami Labar. Suppose that the idea is if the waters become putrid immediately upon the ox falling in, then the ox is considered to be being mazik biadayin. It's actively damaging. But if the water only becomes putrid sometime later on as a result of the carcass of the animal floating there, then Lamaisa, Reuven will be potter. My time, Havishar bar, umayim kalim. Because I will say, if the animal only goes ahead and does damage later on, then the animal effectively becomes a bar. The water in there are like utensils. And remember, as we said before, that for a bar, you're only chayiv if you damage animals or people, but not if you damage utensils. So that makes sense, according to Shmuel, who says that any obstacle, stationary obstacle, is considered to be a bar. But according to Rav, who says that an object only becomes a bar, if what? If you make it hefker, my ikalamemar. So we'll say, what is there to say? Rather, here's the way you have to frame the case. Amar Rava, lo shana ela shevish mi gufo. Oh, Rava says, when is Reuven chayiv? If his shor falls into Shimon's pit and goes ahead and ruins the waters, that's only if the waters are ruined because of the actual body of the shor. Shevish mi gufo, aval hevish mi recho. But ultimately, again, if the waters become putrid, as a result, ultimately, again, of the smell. This is really the decomposition of the carcass. The smell of the animal, so what's interesting of smell, is considered to be indirect damage. That's more like a grumma. So if the animal directly ruined the waters because of its body, that's when Reuven is going to be chayiv. But if the animal ruined the waters because of its smell, potter, my taima, grumma ba'amuhu. Because I'm about to say, ruining the waters with smell is grumma, is causation. And ultimately, again, one will not be chayiv for grumma. So what's the next case? So now, not only did Reuven's ox fall into Shimon's well, but Reuven's father or son were swimming in the well. And what happens? Shor falls in and kills them. So what did the Mishnah paskin? The Mishnah said that Reuven's going to have to pay kofar. V'amai, but I don't understand, why should Reuven pay kofar? Hatamhu. Both said the assumption is that the animal that we're talking about is what? Is a tam. And remember, again, you are not chayiv for kofar in the case of a tam. Amar Rav, Rav said, b'muad lipol alpani adam beboros. So Rav said, what's the case? The case is we're talking about an animal that is muad to fall on people in boros. On his website, which means the animal fell, the animal has done this already three times. Three prior times the animal has fallen into pits and ultimately killed people. So the Gemara said, one second, if that's the case, the animal should be put to death. Whereas if the animal now is killing people by falling into boros, the animal should be put to death. To which the Gemara said, Amar Rav Yosef, techazi yiruk of an apam. No, no, no. Both say the case over here is not a case of a malicious shor, but it's rather more of like a clumsy shor. In these cases, what's happening? The animal is sees vegetation on the edge of the pit, goes to eat the vegetation, and what ends up happening? It ends up slipping into the pit. So both say in a case like that, where there's no premeditation on the part of the shor, you don't put a shor like that to death. So the Gemara says, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says, whose opinion does this reflect? Hamani, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, he da Amar, Tama Mishalim Chatzi Kofar. So both say, this is of the opinion of Shmuel, and Shmuel said, this is Rabbi Yossi Haglili, and Rabbi Yossi Haglili says that a Tam animal pays half Kofar. Therefore, when the Mishnah says Rabosai, in this case, so according to Shmuel Rabosai, the case is not where the animal is a Muad. The case is where the animal is a Tam. But if it's a Tam, then how does the Mishnah say that the owner of the animal, that Reuven has to go ahead and, that Reuven has to go ahead and pay kofar, because you only pay kofar for a muad animal, to which Shmuel says, the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, and Rabbi Yossi Haglili says that a tam animal pays half kofar. So therefore, the Mishnah says that Reuven has to pay kofar. When his animal falls into the well and kills Reuven's son or father, it means he has to pay half kofar. Ula Amar, Ula says Rabbi Yossi Haglili, he damar kabi tarfon. Ula says no. The Mishnah reflects if you're Rabbi Yossi Haglili, holds the kabi tarfon. What does the kabi tarfon say? The Amar Karen b'chazar nezak nezak shalim mishalim. That ultimately Rabbi Tarfon is of the opinion who says that remember Mishuna Karen b'chazar nezak. That if an act of Karen is committed in the Rishus, in the domain of the nezak, ultimately again the damager has to pay nezak shalim. So the Gemara says hachinami kofer shalim mishalim. So to over here, Ula says, Rabbi Yosef, you see the name Rabbi Tarfon, that you have to pay kofar shalim as well. In other words, the Tarfon said that in this case over here, here's what's interesting. So Ula's building on Shmuel. Shmuel wanted to suggest that the Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Yosef Haglili, who holds that a tam pays chatzi kofar. Fine. Ula's taking this a step further. The Rabbi Yosef Haglili, who says that a tam pays half kofar and the animal kills someone, also holds the Rabbi Tarfon, who holds that any time Karen is committed in the Rishus of the Nizak, you have to pay Nezek Shalim. If you bring those two Shitos together, what you have over here is what? That when an animal performs an act of Karen, a Tam animal performs an act of Karen in the Rishus of Nizak, that results in the death of someone, you'll have to pay Kofar Shalim. To which the Gemara says, "Bishlama leUla, Hainu Diktani Haya Aviv Ubinah leSocho." So, according to Ula, I understand why it says that the father or the son were swimming ultimately in the well. Not swimming, but we're in the well. Rashi says over here, if you skip down, it's all the way on the bottom of Rashi. Hainu Diktani Aviv Ubinah, Tahave Karen Bechatzar Nizak. The Mishalim Kofar Shalim. Because we'll say, remember, by putting it to father and son, we're dafka dealing with people, ultimately, again, who are relatives of the landowner, who have the right to be there. Therefore, it's a case of Karen in the Chatzar HaNizak. Ela l'Shmuel, my area Aviv Obino. But according to Shmuel Abosei, who says that this is a case of Chatzi Kofar. So ultimately, again, Chatzi Kofar. So ultimately, again, why do you need it to be a case of a father or a son swimming in the well? In other words, that Lamaisa, again, even if it doesn't have to be someone who even has Rishus to be in that Chatzar, even if it's someone who's unrelated to the landowner, had no Rishus to be there, Lamaisa, if Reuven's animal ends up killing that person who's swimming in the well, Reuven will be Chayiv Chatzi Kofar. To which the Gemara says, Afilu Acher Nami. To which the Gemara says, you're right, but Orchei Dimilsa Katani. The Mishnah is just writing in the normative way, I was saying. The normative way is who's going to be swimming in the bar, in the cistern, in the well, ultimately of the Balabas. Bepashto, someone who's related to him and has Rishus to be there. So Ve'im Hechnes, Berushos Bal Chatzar Chayiv. So I'll say, but however, again, now switching cases, if Reuven brought his animal into Shimon's Rishus, and Shimon gave permission for Reuven's animal to be there, then Chayiv. If, let's say, then the Balabas ends up injuring Reuven's animal, Shimon the Balabas will be Chayiv. Itma Rav Amar Hilchos HaKetana Kama. So we'll say, so remember again, part of now the fundamental machlokes is what constitutes Rishus. So remember again, we have the machlokes and the Mishnah between the Rabbanon and Rebbe, Tanakama and Rebbe. In other words, if I invite someone, I'm Shimon, and I give Reuven permission to come into my field. So what does that permission mean? According to the Tanakama, when you invite someone into your field, by definition, what you are doing is you are assuming responsibility for damages. In other words, what you are saying is, if your animal gets damaged in my field, I am responsible to make you whole. According to Rebbe, when you invite someone into your field, what you are saying is, I'm giving you rishus to come into my field, but what? Do so at your own risk. The only time the landowner assumes responsibility is when he explicitly says, I hereby assume all responsibility that may occur to for damages that may occur to your property. But in the absence of that explicit statement, you do not assume responsibility. We'll say that's the fundamental machlokes in Rebbe and the Tanakamo. Say it, my Rav Amar Hilchos HaKetanakamo. So Rav says that halacha follows the Tanakamo. In other words, that when you invite someone into your Rishus, by definition, you are accepting responsibility for damages. Shmuel says, no, that halacha follows Rebbe. Namely, the only time you assume responsibility for damages is when you explicitly say so. So Tan Rabban, we learned, Kinos Sharcha Vishamro. Suppose listen to this. The Balabas says, bring into to the right. So Shimon says to Reuven, bring your shor into my Rishus, Vishamro. So Vishamro means that Shimon says to Reuven, but you need to watch your shor. So what's the halacha? Hizik, if the shor goes ahead and gets damaged, so chayiv. Ultimately, if the shor damages, so the bala shor Reuven is going to be chayiv. Huzak, if the shor is damaged, pater. The bala bais is going to be pater. Kones shor chavani yeshmerenu. But if Shimon says to Reuven, bring in your shor and I will watch it, then huzak, if ultimately again the shor is damaged, then chayiv. The balabas will be chayiv. Hezek, if the shor damaged, pater, the balashor will be pater. So we'll say, sitting where it says, haguf akasha. This seems to be inherently contradictory. How so? Amrit kinos sharcha v'shamro. In case number one, Shimon, the balachotzer, says to Reuven, the owner of the shor, bring in your shor, and you, Reuven, watch your own shor. So what did the Braisa say? Hezek chayiv, huzak pater. If the animal does damage, Reuven is chayiv. And if the animal is damaged, Shimon the balachotzer is pater. Taima do amrali shamro dechayiv balashar upater balachotzer. The reason ultimately again why Reuven maintains liability in this case is why? Because Shimon the balachotzer said to him what? Said to him what? Shamar, you watch your ox. What can we infer from this? Hastama chayiv balachotzer upater balashar. De bimistama mekabel alei nitirusa. So you both say from the ratio of the price, it sounds like what? Why is Reuven the Bala Shar going to be chayiv for damages his Shar does? Because the invitation from Shimon said what? Reuven, please feel free to come in, but what? But what? Shamar, you watch your ox. So the reason ultimately again why Reuven is chayiv for the damages of his ox is because Shimon said you assume liability, which sounds like that had Shimon not said anything, then what? Then what? Shimon would have assumed liability. But yet in Masefa, look at the end of that brisa, Kinos Sharcha Vani Ishmarenu. If Shimon says to Reuven, bring in your shor and I will guard it. So Huzak Chayiv Hizik Potter. If it's damaged, Shimon the Balabas is chayiv, and if the animal does damage, the Balashar is pater. Why? Taima da amar levan yishmarenu. The reason is because in this case, Shimon the Balachatzer is explicitly saying, "I'll watch it." So the Gemara says, "Who do mechayiv Balachatzer about the Balashar? Hastama chayiv Balashar upater Balachatzer." So listen to this. So the Maisa, again, it sounds like from the Seifa, that's what? Sounds like from the Seifa, that the only time that the only reason why the Balachatra is chayv is because he explicitly said, I will accept responsibility, which sounds like stomach. Had he not said anything, the responsibility would be according to, would fall on the owner of the shar. Asan l'rebi, d'amar achi kabal alei nitirusa. So, nitirusa balabais. So, suppose I see, you see over here, that's what? We have two contradictory inferences from the Braisa. From the first part of the Braisa, it sounds like what? The only reason, ultimately, again, the balabais is assuming any level of it sounds like, had the balabais not said anything, he would have assumed responsibility, which seems to reflect the view of the Rabbanon. But yet, from the Seifa, it sounds like the only reason that the balabais is assuming any responsibility is because he explicitly said, I assume responsibility, which sounds like in the absence of a statement, responsibility would be upon the owner of the shar. If that's the case, Reisha Rabbanon v'Seifa Rebbe, we have a problem, because it sounds like the first part of the Braisa is reflecting the view of the Rabbanon, and the second part of the Braisa is reflecting the view of Rebbe. Rabbi, we'll stop over here for today, but just understand, I'm leaving you a little bit on a cliffhanger, because we're left with this fundamental machlokes. Rabbi, and this is so distinct machlokes. When you invite someone into your home, what level of responsibility are you taking? According to Rebbe, when you invite someone into your home, you take responsibility ultimately to ensure that that person's animals does not get damaged. And if it gets damaged, you, the balabas, are chayyeh for that. According to Rebbe, no. When you invite someone into your home, you're inviting them in, but you're saying, enter at your own risk. It's only if the balabas explicitly takes on responsibility that he has responsibility, but in the absence of an explicit acceptance, the Baal HaShor is chayiv for a short. We'll meet tomorrow. Zav this machlokes tomorrow.